When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Living Room Logic.
Welcome back. Another episode of Living Room Logic. But this time we're going to be talking about our favorite friends, the dinosaurs, who got hit by a giant pebble that ended their entire existence. But, you know, that also kind of gave space for the entirety of humanity and everything you love to exist. So good on that pebble. But it's really interesting because when I think of dinosaurs, I kind of think of crocodiles on steroids. Because when I was a wee lad, I loved dinosaurs. I had Lego dinosaur thingies. I had those little weird plastic, really hard plastic dinosaurs as well.
Yeah.
That were like green and gray and all of this different stuff, right? And I remember seeing Jurassic Park, which, keep in mind, I was very, very young, and it kind of scarred me. And it was like, as I got older, it went from a horror movie to a scary movie to, oh my God, this is like a nature documentary and really informative to kind of almost like satire now, because you kind of look back and you're like, that's not really it, is it? Because I think of dinosaurs literally like giant alligators and giant geckos. And I think the reason they think about it this way is because they kind of looked at what we have today. They looked at animals today that have similar bone structures and similar things like that, and they followed that evolutionary lineage on, and they basically got the skeleton involved. They basically got the skeleton of your T-Rex or your Brontosaurus and effectively slapped a skin on it from something we actually know, and we're like, this is probably what it looked
like.
And I think when you look at things like the original Jurassic Park, and as you go up, if you actually watch all of the Jurassic Parks, you can see that they slightly change the way the dinosaurs look over time. Because it stops being shiny and grey and really bad CGI to slightly better CGI, which is, you know, great for technology, but still scientifically iffy. But if you watch the most recent ones, they kind of ruined the dinosaurs for me, because they kind of have these pathetic feathers hanging off them. and you're kind of looking at it like, I'm sorry now, but these dinosaurs are meant to be giant alligators or giant geckos. And they're kind of dressing them up as if these dinosaurs live in a native tribe, and when they find a feather, they attach it to their forehead as like a symbol of dominance or a symbol of success as a hunter. And you just see it hanging off their arms. I'm sorry, Aiden, but that's not a velociraptor. You know, that is not what I understand as dinosaurs. And I'm probably going to deny you ruining my childhood memories of what dinosaurs are, because the evidence, as Aiden's going to talk us through, is that maybe they did have those feathers. And the fact that we're only getting this science now is something that I'm going to hold against toy companies from my childhood forever. Because I stood on so many of those plastic dinosaurs, Aiden, and hurt my foot.
If only they had feathers.
If they had feathers, think of the injuries that would have been avoided. Aiden, set my case for suing these toy companies.
Okay.
I'm coming after them.
Yeah, and I think as well, like, I'm the exact same, Andrew. Like, when I was young, Toy Story, that was probably one of the first dinosaurs I ever saw. And he's a T-Rex, and he's, like, green and scaly. And so I also had this preconception from my youngest age that dinosaurs are like reptiles. And weirdly enough, actually, as we talk about the feathers, and feathers are most known to be on birds, dinosaurs are actually pretty bird-like. And I have...
Liar.
Liar. Don't ruin it. But not all of them. It actually becomes very complicated, but the story kind of started this whole bird-like dinosaur. What the heck's going on here? And bird and dinosaurs having feathers like birds actually started in the late 1800s. A scientist found one of the most beautifully preserved specimens. Again, we will go back to this German word that I like to bring up, German words, but it's the same one from a previous episode, called Lagerstätten. Which is perfectly preserved. You need to have the most, I guess, unfortunate series of events for a animal to become perfectly preserved. First of all, there needs to be volcanic activity nearby. And it needs to be a certain type of volcanic activity where the ash is not too hot. It's really fine particles, much finer than sand. Really, you're talking silt. Like, you can almost, you know, it's almost soft when you feel it with your hand. It's really difficult to find, you know. We're not used to feeling volcanic silt, you know. But so when there's a volcanic eruption and this sort of plume of volcanic cloud falls on something after it's died, so they need to just have met their demise, unfortunately, very fortunately for paleontologists, but very unfortunately for them, in a semi-marine, semi-aquatic place, maybe a pond, maybe a pool, and then to be overlain by this silt. So it's a really weird situation. And to be honest, that's why we don't have so many of these beautifully preserved fossils with feathers on them, dinosaurs with feathers, or somewhere evolutionarily just between birds and dinosaurs. That's why there are so few. But this one of the first ones is a species called Archaeopteryx. And this was actually found, as I said, in the late 1800s. So we actually knew that this existed. We just didn't know where it was. The researchers at the time thought it was a bird, of course, because it had lots of feathers on it. But because with genetic dating in the 90s and on into the 2000s, basically the use of computers and evolutionary biology with IT, with computers, with huge data sets that could sift through them using a computer, they actually figured out that this Archaeopteryx was evolutionarily right in the middle between birds and dinosaurs. And nothing really happened right up until the 80s, but still, from it being found 100 years before, it's crazy how nothing happened for 100 years in terms of our perception of dinosaurs. And even in the 2000s, and in the 90s, we got Jurassic Park. And this is right in the middle of all of this unfolding. And so it was really interesting. But unfortunately, Steven Spielberg just got it wrong. But he still made damn good movie series. And it's fantastic. And actually, there are a lot of things that he got quite right. One example was the T-Rex. And the T-Rex is actually quite close in its evolution to velociraptors, and although they're called theropods, and birds are also theropods, so they're very quite close in their evolutionary similarity. But T-Rexes have scales on them, and they don't really have a lot of evidence that they have feathers, whereas they have lots of evidence now that velociraptors definitely did have feathers. And so they don't actually have direct evidence of beautifully preserved feathers, but they found that birds have this weird wrist where they're able to pull it back right behind their ulna. And that means the ulna is on the outer side of your arm. Backwards. And that means that they can put, so they can put their wings away, fully extend it, like, you know, 180 degrees back.
Oh. Cool.
And have it vertically back, and so that makes sense to put your big long feathers away when you're running. So they actually find in pretty much all velociraptor specimens, they have this thing called a quill center, and so it is exactly where feathers would have been placed in. And so although they didn't preserve.
Okay, that's really cool.
Yeah, that's how they found that out. They know that in all modern birds, they, this structure on the wrist is has only one purpose, and that's to place feathers in. And so if you think of velociraptors, they have... And
is that on the bone?
Yeah, it's a structure in the bone. So that's how they're able to kind of go away from this scaly velociraptor. Cool. I mean, there is one thing that Jurassic Park got quite wrong to do with velociraptors in particular. They were not that large. They were like, I don't know, like 50 centimeters tall. So they were quite small. They may be the size of a turkey. So a lot smaller. Yeah, you know,
this before, but how depressing.
I know. But they still, like, they were still a...
How do you get that wrong?
Yeah, I guess... I guess,
like,
they
have a full skeleton? And they were like, maybe we've only found the young ones.
Yeah,
they
exactly.
They definitely were bigger than
well,
this.
No, I actually think it was a Hollywood decision, you know, to make them big and bad. Oh. Because they were, you know, they actually, in the movie, they have these small dinosaurs as well. And so that a couple of people killed by the smaller ones. And so that's what they would kind of be more like. But, you know, they would have had plumage. They would have been feathery, gotcha. dark, down and long kind of feathers coming, draping down from their claws and their arms.
Yeah, yeah.
And although velociraptors, we really don't think that they use these for flight, they could definitely have used them to help them move through the air in terms of running at high speeds mm-hmm. and maneuvering. And it helps, it would probably help them with traversing quickly. And so,
gotcha.
You know, you don't need feathers for this, but because just like the T-Rex, we kind of figure out that these were quite active animals, especially because at the start of, as you said, when they were lumbering crocodiles, or that's what we thought they were. Crocodiles and alligators have their arms splayed out on the sides of their body and their belly drags on the ground. Yeah. And that's just to help use less energy. They can just basically drag themselves along at a pace, whatever pace they want, usually quite slow.
Ah, yes, the slug model.
The slug model, exactly.
The height of evolution. Yeah, yeah. I hope we. I think with obesity rates, we're slowly going back.
Yeah, exactly. But what's cool about, of course, we actually thought the earliest T-Rex fossils, we didn't know where the legs went because they weren't never attached to the vertebrae, to the spine in the ribcage. So until we got a better fossil of the legs being directly underneath the body, bipedal, only two legs, we realized, wow, they must be quite active and they must need a lot of energy and they must be quite high energy. And this is the idea of cold-blooded versus warm-blooded. And this is the big debate. Going back to crocodiles and alligators, they are cold-blooded animals. They require external sources to stay warm. That's why they bathe. When you see them sunbathing on rivers and stuff, and they just look like they're chilling, because they are. They need it in the morning. They need to, for pretty much a quarter or half of every single day, they're just taking in heat. Whereas we, like mammals and birds, are endotherms. So we actually use the metabolism in our body and the insulation of our skin and fat to insulate all the heat that's made. And that works really well for kind of more active animals. Do you know what I mean? So
I do.
The idea that if dinosaurs, or at least this group of dinosaurs, meat-eating dinosaurs called theropods, them having feathers means, oh, well, maybe they're not fully cold-blooded. Maybe they're actually warm-blooded. And the debate is it's still ongoing, because they share traits of both reptiles and mammals and birds, and they're somewhere in between. And you actually have to think of dinosaurs as this huge lineage as well, because this whole time I've just been talking about a small group of dinosaurs called theropods. There are actually a whole other side of dinosaurs called bird-hipped dinosaurs. It's kind of ironic that the bird hip dinosaurs didn't evolve into birds. Actually the dinosaurs that evolved into birds are actually called lizard hip dinosaurs. So whoever made that mistake, they made a boo-boo. Okay, I know it's kind of weird, but there's actually one branch away from these theropods, these meat-eating ones, T-Rex, velociraptors, and going off birds. The other branch are these dudes called Diplodocus and other things. They're called sauropods. They're the big plant-eating dinosaurs. You know, in Jurassic Park, you see those big lumbering kind of peaceful animals that are just huge and they eat vegetation. Well, they didn't have feathers. So they were fully scaled. And so
it's
strange because you would think that they would have feathers, and then that confuses, well, where did the feathers evolve? Well, because they don't have them, well, it probably evolved later on at near the theropods, the meat-eating dinosaurs like T-Rex and Velociraptor. But T-Rex don't really have much evidence for feathers, so there's about a third of these guys who don't have feathers, and the other two-thirds of those dinosaurs do. And that other group, the bird-hipped dinosaurs, I'll give you some examples of those. Things like Triceratops, you know those cool ones with the horns? They look badass, they're really cool. And they're like duck-billed dinosaurs. I if you could imagine that they kind of have a large duck bill like a platypus, and then the back of their head comes out like that. And the Stegosaurus, you know, the one with the big spiked tail, and it kind of has a big armored body and spines, big spiny scales up its back.
Mm-hmm.
They're all in that group, and there's not a lot of evidence for them having feathers, except for... There is a type of horned dinosaur, the Triceratops, who the specimen had really long, plumy feathers on its tail, kind of like a peacock. And if you could think, it's kind of like it's an ornamental thing. That's what peacocks use their big, beautiful feathers for, is as a mating, as part of a mating ritual. And so, you know, these long, they're called long filamentous feathers. And so if you get that in these Triceratops, then did they evolve those themselves, like again on their own? Or did the evolution of feathers happen way before?
Okay.
And so that is the question right now in modern paleontology.
So could it kind of be like a converging evolution? That
yes,
maybe feathers were kind of beneficial, and maybe two different lineages, one with feathers, but maybe they started getting feathers in another one because it was proving to be useful. Is that about right?
The first idea is that feathers are an ancestral trait, a deep ancestral trait that the dinosaurs, depending on what your niche is, as in what your purpose in the ecosystem is, feathers, you can kind of turn on the gene for feathers or turn it off using natural selection, survival of the fittest, based on whether it was useful or not. And you could turn it off if it wasn't useful. By turning off, I mean that it evolves out of the species rather than evolving in. And so that's one side of the coin. That's what half of paleontologists think. And then the other half think of this other thing, that it's very possible that you can evolve feathers several times in this very large evolutionary tree. Because you have to think of dinosaurs. We think of dinosaurs as being very similar, but Triceratops and birds or a Triceratops and a T-Rex are very different, say as different
of course,
as us to a crocodile. So
that's cool.
There's this huge diversity, and the idea that Triceratops, or not Triceratops, but one of the horned dinosaurs evolved it themselves again on their own is also supported by the fact that going even further back away from before dinosaurs, there were these things called ornithoderans, and they include the pterosaurs. And pterosaurs are those big gliding bird-looking dinosaurs, but they're actually not dinosaurs, which is the funny thing. They evolved before dinosaurs. But they,
oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, but they did exist also during the time of dinosaurs in the Triassic and the Jurassic and the Cretaceous. And then they died when that pebble hit Earth, unfortunately.
Of course.
But the weirdest thing is that pterosaurs also have a type of feather called picofilaments, which are, pico is just there's micro, nano, pico, and pico is the smallest. It's almost like a fuzz. It's like later on they call it a dino fuzz in some of the dinosaur species, but this is like a taro fuzz. And so they also had this type of filament that isn't a mammalian hair. It's something else. Yeah. So it's a feather, right? Which is quite interesting. So the kind of conclusion of this is that researchers, paleontologists, are still figuring out, did it evolve once very a long time ago in the past? Did feathers evolve? And the dinosaurs can turn it on or off those genes depending on whether they're beneficial or not. And that it is still within their genome, that many species down the line might turn on again if it is again beneficial.
For sure.
Or that they just evolve it homologously at a different time they do it. Because there is one more example I have for why that might make sense as well, that they all evolved it slightly differently and in different ways.
Think of
mammals. There are several mammals who have evolved at different times convergently, spikes and scales and hard parts, things like pangolins, which people don't like anymore because of coronavirus.
Yeah.
Other things called echidnas, and they have this like hard kind of exterior that's almost like a large scale on their back.
Yeah.
And porcupines and hedgehogs, they have really hard spiky scales.
True.
And they all evolved these on their own. They didn't acquire them as an ancestral trait.
What about things like dolphins and sharks?
Mm-hmm.
So would this be like a similar thing going on? Because dolphins are mammals.
Yeah.
But sharks are ancient. Sharks never left the ocean in their evolution.
Yeah.
But if a dolphin is a mammal, that kind of indicates that it, at one point in its evolution, it moved from the sea onto land and then moved back into the sea and kind of convergently evolved to have things like fins and wide tails and, you know, things like
that. Yeah, no, and you're absolutely right. That's exactly what happened. And it's the strangest thing. It's the strangest thing about evolution, and it's what's so interesting about evolution is the fact that your ancestors could be land mammals and you can go back. Now, comparing dolphins to sharks, they have a very different way of living in the marine environment because sharks use gills and dolphins use lungs. So it's very different in way they breathe and take in oxygen and respire. So they are very different.
Of course.
But there's several ways of doing the same thing is what you're saying.
That's really cool. And I actually just want to show you something just because I found it whilst you were talking and I think it's awesome.
Okay, cool.
Someone on the 21st of December 2021 found a fossilized egg of a Oviraptor, who is one of in the family of dinosaurs that you were talking about.
Yeah, theropods.
Theropods. And they were kind of showing that these dinosaurs are quite, you know, they blur that line between birdie or dinosaur. They're kind of right in that middle point.
Yeah.
But being able to find an evolved Oviraptor in the embryo, they could actually compare the fetal position of it to that of modern chickens.
Oh my God, that's amazing. Yeah.
To show the comparison and to show that they developed within the egg in a similar way. And I just thought that was absolutely crazy.
And again, we're talking here ancestral trait. So many animals have things that evolved in the past that maybe we don't use. I mean, we have a tailbone. There's no point of us having a tailbone, but we do because our ancestors had tails. Very long ago, before humans evolved. That's really nice that you said that, because it rounds this out very much, that it's okay to think of a lot of dinosaurs having very bird-like features or having very bird-like behaviors. And that's maybe one of the most important things from finding all this out. You might say, oh, this is kind of boring that, okay, they have feathers, they look stupid. But not only do they have feathers, but they might actually share behavioral traits. Things like birds almost always take care of their young and until they can fend for themselves. And so that's one big thing. So they take care of their hatchlings. They're very social creatures. There's colonial species of birds, like penguins, that have these huge, intricate colonies and societies. So think of dinosaurs having similar colonies and societies. It's very cool. But and then think of the T-Rex or the Velociraptor as a caring mother who, okay, will rip a dinosaur's head off and eat it, but it will bring that back to its cute little fluffy kids that it needs to protect and care for and socially develop into their own, you know, black-eyed killers.
That's,
you know,
so funny. I feel like modern mothers have done more for less.
You see David Attenborough documentaries about lions and tigers, and the lone mother, or maybe the troop for lions, the tribe, the way that they take care of their young and they take care of their family. And so no longer are paleontologists thinking of dinosaurs as these stupid kind of lumbering lizards. They're really thinking of them more like these quite intelligent, behavioral, wacky species. The thing I'll leave us on is researchers found a really weird set of footprints, and the only way that they could reconstruct it was that this dinosaur, this theropod with feathers, was doing some sort of dance. And so it was clearly doing maybe a mate, because, you know, birds of paradise have extremely intricate mating dances and mating rituals, and they'll not only will they dance, but they'll completely almost set up a stage, a little area of the forest floor. They'll make sure there's not a single brown leaf. They're all green. They're beautiful. Their stage looks gorgeous. And they'll do this intricate dance for a female. And so you would imagine that that might have happened for a lot of species as well. As this term that we actually talked about before, sexual selection instead of natural selection, may have also played quite a dominant role in some dinosaurs.
That's so cool, man. I'm still disproportionately upset about Jurassic Park, but it's really, really cool. It is cool, though. It's like, I think the whole idea of converging evolution and trying to track the way it moved and the way things moved in between niches was really, really cool. So thanks for going through that. Really, really cool.
No bother, man. I love dinosaurs. Steven Spielberg, get it right next time.
On that note, good luck.
This is the end of the podcast. We hope you enjoyed your time. If you're feeling generous and you're not completely skinned, why don't you give us some of your money? Join our Patreon. Join our Patreon. Join our Patreon. Join our Patreon.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.